Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. Agirirari Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Gita. Sri Rup Sri Sanatan Bhattaragunata. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasaragunata. Sagaswami Ki. These are some movies we have here. I think also there's some pictures we have. Let's look at some pictures here. We got pictures, drivers, backup photos. There's a piggy. This man has got problems. Sometimes you feel like it's this in life, like that, you know, when you go to school. Did you finish your arithmetic? What else we got? It's a thoughtful monkey. What is this? What is this?
Sita.
Yeah, and Mother Sita. Who else is in the picture? Who are these? These are pigs, rakshashis. And who else is in the picture? Oh, a little monkey there. Who's that? Yeah, this is the Ashokban. This is Hanumat Preshak. Okay, close. Hanumat Preshak Kidai. He's giving a message to Sita. And this is when we were in Russia. This is Bhakti Vignan Maharaj, he's a Russian devotee. And so many nice devotees there. It was a very nice program. And some dancing bears. Yoo-hoo. There you go. Yeah. Haribo. They're at Mangal Artik. Like that. Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka. Yeah. There's Piggy. This is Radadesh in Belgium. In Belgium, this is Radha Gopinath. And who's this? And who's this? Hare Gopinath Ki. Let's see. There's some Sheilas. This is Govindaji in Berkeley. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Okay, there we go. Yes. Okay, give me a second. Give me a break. He was, Prabhupada had one Gujarati person, Bhagabhai Patel. He was from had the motorcycle Jariwala house in Surat, and very, very nice Vaishnava, you know, very nice person. And he helped Prabhupada in San Francisco, just starting ISKCON. So one time he gave Prabhupada this very nice deity of Govinda, about this tall, is on the altar in Berkeley below Radha Gokulananda. And Prabhupada put him right up on the altar right away in San Francisco and worshipped him. And they asked the devotees, should we try and find one Radharani? And Prabhupada said, if she wants to come, she will come. So she came about 2 years ago. Yeah. Radharani Ki. Yeah. There's some more Hanuman talking to Sita. Hanuman burning down Lanka. What else we got? It's us in Russia. Oh, some duplicates here. This is Jayananda with Prabhupada. I don't know why it's so slow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada was in San Francisco in It's the original temple, Stanyan and something. It's right next to the park. And it was the first temple there, second temple in ISKCON. And Jayananda was there, and he met Prabhupada. And he'd been a mechanical engineer someplace in Iowa or something, and he's studying like that. He came to California. His grandfather was like a Baptist minister or something. And very kind of big guy, very nice, and he didn't know what was going on, what is life, and he said, what am I supposed to do? Who am I? You know. So the night before he met Prabhupada, he was actually crying a little bit about, so unhappy about what is reality. The next day he met Prabhupada, went to the temple, and as soon as he came in to the room, Prabhupada looked at him and told the devotee, bring prasadam. Yeah. So Jayananda said, Prabhupada always knew what you needed. So he was eating prasadam. And Prabhupada started asking questions and said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm a taxi driver. He said, you have a job? Because all the hippies are just living like that, like beasts. You know. He said, yes. You know. He said, I have any questions? And Jayananda said, well, what is the purpose of life? You know. And so Prabhupada thought for a second and said, but the purpose of life is to be happy. And I said, oh, okay. Like that. And they talk more about what it means to be happy, you know. And very advanced person. You know, many people have suggested he's eternal associate of Prabhupada. I would agree. You know. And sometimes in the temple in Frederick Street, then Prabhupada would like to go for a walk in Golden Gate Park, beautiful park, maybe like 20 blocks long like that, beautiful park. And so he would tell Jayananda, he'd say, Jayananda, it's time to take your dog for a walk, like that, meaning himself, like that. And so they would go out and in the park and talk about things like that. Jayananda Babu Gidai. And here, this is a photo which is called People Are Different. This is Hanuma. I'm sorry. I got a silk dhoti, I got a cotton dhoti, you know, like that. This is in Peru. What do we have in common? And here's a. Because everybody can participate in this movement and dance in ecstasy. Get a flower there. Very nice hat. So don't be embarrassed. You can also dance in the Arctics. Oh, yeah. This is the monkey with a pistol. Anjus. Huh? Is it? Yeah. Oh, here's a scientist. Made a small mistake in his calculations. Yeah. And this is, we have two characters, Monkey and Piggy, our characters in our Anjana Sudha Academy. This is one of Monkey's favorite pictures. This is by devotees copy him a lot. I got his name now. He's a very famous artist. Very printings are very brilliant. Maxfield Parrish. And this is the circus clown there. He hasn't got a belt for his pants. Here's the ringmaster, you know. So I some kind of think of this as Hanuma Prishak Swami in the GBC. Like that. I feel like that. And the caption is, Oh, to be such a fellow, nimble of wit, flexible to the limit, with his hand turned against society, and always getting the best of it. Like that. So on. Yeah. So, there's one more. I haven't got it on. I've got to transfer it. This is our hard drive. Somebody gave it to us, 300 gigabytes or something. Okay. Rumbala gave us something. Photos, drivers, backups. Hare Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya. What happened to Asa? Oh, there it is, yeah. There's some photos here too. Oh, I haven't got anything. Okay. So we've got a movie up there. Safe to withdraw your file. Yeah. This is because it thinks it's on the desktop, but I can do it anyway, I think. Just unplug it. Yeah. As long as it thinks it's because it's on the desktop, it kind of keeps track of it. Okay. But then, around my neck, we have also our bead bags. If you tie it like this, they won't fall out. the technique. There's Monkey and Piggy in the Anjana Sudha Academy, and there's also Uncle Gizmo. Uncle Gizmo is a scientific guy, technical guy. He comes from a different universe. Warp World 9, where there's an ISKCON, just like the one here, but a little bit different. It's like ISKCON here. Okay. Now, here we got some more photos. One more photo he wanted to show you. Where is it? Yeah, where'd it go here? Yeah. There it is. Hanuman from Hell. Ravana's worst nightmare. Yes. Hanuman ki da. Yeah. Since he got his Sri Ram club there, you know. This is what the Vanaras were like. They weren't like, you know, we call it comic book. They had fangs, they had claws. And I've never read one Ramayana where Hanuman had a club. Never, ever. He would just pick up rocks, you know, mountains, automobiles. He'd pick up automobiles and smash people with them and, you know, rip them to death with his teeth and his nails like that. Who else was there? It was Hanuman. Who else? Huh? Angada? Huh? Angad. If you say Sanskrit, it'd be Angada. Bengali or Hindi, it'd be Angad. Hanuman, Angad. Huh? Vanaras. Yeah. Jambaban, Vidvida, and Mainda, their brothers. Huh? Sugriva, Bali. Yeah, and they were all like this. They were just giants, gorillas like that. How big is a gorilla now in the jungle? How many pounds? Huh? No, not that big. Huh? And about 400 pounds like that. Imagine, this big, you know. And they're almost never alone like that. So hungry tigers don't mess with them because, you know, they grab them and just pull the tigers to pieces. So on. Okay, Hanuman from Hell. It's like that. Watch out, Ravana. There we go. Huh? Yeah, Vidvida, he lived all the time. Vidvida and Jambaban were both participating in Ram Lila and Krishna Lila. And I guess Mainda was also there. But Vidvida Vidvida and Mainda were, you know, secretaries, generals for Sugriva. Yeah? Huh? No, Jambaban's a gorilla. He's the king of the bears, but he's a gorilla. Not a bear. Papa said that. Yeah. But he's the king of the bears, Vrikshiraj. So supposedly Vidvida got into bad association with Banasura. And because of that, he became like kind of like demoniacally inclined. And then finally Balaram killed him. Like that. And showed him. Yeah. See some of the doing. So we actually were here kind of like for this Bhakti Shastri program. Where is it going to be? Primary or kindergarten? Okay, Japa Joe. primary? We're looking for the Bhakti Vedanta Library. It looks like it's right there, huh? They're nice. Okay. PowerPoint. Where's it go? Where is it? There we go. The Bhakti Vedanta Library. Yeah. So there's a professor at the University of California, probably retired now, George Hart. He wrote a book called A Rapid Sanskrit Method. It was published by Motilal Varanasidas. And he said, Sanskrit, like Chinese, Arabic, Latin, is one of the few languages that has been a carrier of culture over a long period of time. Thus, the variety of writings in Sanskrit and the quality of those writings is staggering. An incomplete list treated in Sanskrit and usually with great prolixity, that means something nice, is as follows. The four Vedas, the Brahmanas and Aranyakas, the Upanishads, grammar books, the Puranas, 18 major Puranas, 18 minor Puranas, hundreds of Stala Puranas. What else we got here? We got works on medicine, logic, astronomy, astrology, mathematics, law books, architecture, music. On most subjects, there is an immense literature still extant, indeed a rough estimate of the works which will be listed in the new Catalogus, Catalogorum, yields about 160,000 ancient books in Sanskrit. Right? Many so difficult that it would take years of study to properly understand them. Sanskrit does have its share of great writers. Kalidas ranks with the greatest poets. Panini is without question the greatest pre-modern grammarian. The Mahabharata ranks with the Iliad and the Odyssey. And the Bhagavad Purana is among the finest works of devotion ever written, being equaled, in my opinion, only by other works in the Indian languages. And there's so many other professors who glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhaktivedanta library, the books are the basis. Then the basis of all these, of course, is Shruti, you know, the Vedas, what is heard from Krishna directly. Now, of course, there's the Upanishads. And Prabhupada gave us the Isopanishads, like that. And it's a very intellectual text. It's very, very good if you want to talk to Sanskritists and people like that. It's a useful tool, like that. So we've already studied that in our Bhakti Shastri program. So maybe three texts we should know, like that. How many texts in Isopanishad? 15? 18? 15? Huh? 18? 18, okay. Yeah. And which three texts are we going to memorize? Introduction, Om Purnam Adaya Purnam Idam, Purna Purnam Udachate, Purnasham Purnam Adaya Purnam. Yeah, and number one? Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, Yakincha Jagayam Jagat, Tena Tiyak Tena Bunjitaha, Magrada Kashya Svedanam. Text 15. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam pusham apavrenu satya dharmaya drishyate. Just be, please remove your effulgence and show me your face. You know, please nourish my bhakti and let me come to you. So it's very clear. He has a face, it's behind the effulgence, like that. So in more details, it's very nice, it's a very intellectual book. He's talking about God from different angles and the destination of people who don't develop spiritual life, are not interested in spiritual life. People came to Buddha, and they said, Buddha, some people say there's a God, and some people say there isn't. What do you say, Buddha? And Buddha said, Buddha says, you should find out. So Buddha, he didn't deal with these things. He stressed the importance of the question, like that. It's a famous story of somebody, if somebody shoots you with a poison arrow, right? You don't think, who shot me? What's his social security number? Like that. What does he have a right like that? You know, where's he from? Where did he get the wood? Did he pay for this? So, no, first you pull the arrow out, you know? So the Buddha's point is all this speculation, all these things. First, you try and achieve immortality. You get freedom from death and these kind of problems like that. So Buddha was preaching pre-dharma, upadharma. Of course, there's so many branches of Buddhism like that, so many kinds of Buddhas. Amitabha Buddha, a very famous guy. Yeah. But the Upanishads are like that, you know. So the Isopanishad, and then it's from the Yajurveda. And the next very natural study is Bhagavad Gita. Yeah? And Bhagavad Gita is also an Upanishad. How many chapters in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, like that. And let's see what we got here. Then Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the heart of the Bhaktivedanta library. It's the literary incarnation of God. It's the incarnation of God for Kali Yuga. And Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs. It helps us understand the basic ideas. Bhagavad Gita is the cultivation of the intellect. Srimad Bhagavatam is the cultivation of the soul proper. Because only if you're an intelligent person, if you're a jnani, can you really come to the Bhagavatam. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. They would just take one verse and just chant it over and over again, like japa for hours, just like Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kati Birheditam Kalma Sapaham Shravanamangalam Srimad Atatam Puvigranantayai bodhidajanaha. When Krishna left the gopis, they were feeling great separation. So they sang some songs. It's called the Gopi Gita, and very beautiful prayers. And that's one of them. It says that people are suffering in this world like a burning fire from so many problems. You know, but some great souls, they come and they remove that fire by pouring on people the nectar, the water of your pastimes, your activities, your qualities, like that. The people who do this are the most munificent souls in the universe. People who distribute your words and stuff like that. So we relish that, like japa. Lord Chaitanya said, you can only understand Srimad Bhagavatam when you become a madman like me. There are many madmen. This is a madman like Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. And what else we got in the Bhaktivedanta library? Ah, the Krishna book. What's that? What's the relationship to Srimad Bhagavatam of the Krishna book? Krishna book is what relationship to Srimad Bhagavatam? Huh? Yeah, but what is it? What relationship, huh? 10th canto. It's a summary study of the whole 10th canto. That's all it is. Yeah. And Light of the Bhagavat is one chapter from that, you know. So in our Bhakti Shastri program, we're including East Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, and Light of the Bhagavat. We also studied that, too. You know. And why is it useful? What's in Light of the Bhagavat? Why? How can we use that book? Yeah. It takes examples from nature. Well, why did Prabhupada write a separate book and describe the pictures? What was the name of the conference, remember? Cultivation of the Human Spirit. So it's a very nice topic. You can use it. Very nice topic. You know, very few people who won't agree to that. Like, I'm not in favor of that. You know? Most people, yeah, cultivation of the human spirit. It was a very nice conference. And Prabhupada thought Oriental people are very fond of descriptions of nature. You see beautiful descriptions. You can't beat them. And so then that chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is taking examples from nature like that, from the summer season, the rainy season, and finally autumn after the rainy season. They show different things like that. For example, at the night time we can see the moon, and by the light of the moon we can see the clouds. But then because the clouds are moving, what happens? The clouds are moving and therefore the moon appears to move. So what example is that? What lesson do we learn from that, Mr. Upendra? And then we see the clouds and the moon, and because the clouds are moving, the moon appears to be moving. Yeah? So what's the example of that? Huh? Yeah, it's an example of the soul, the Atma, like Krishna. And the bodies are changing and we think the soul is moving. But it's not. It's just sitting there watching everything. Nation, family, house, you know, bank balance, health, you know, and it's all changing like that. Yeah? So many nice examples. And we're developing this, of course, in South of everywhere. We have this available. If you want to do this, we have the art. You can print the pictures. Yeah, right here we have those. You can, big, this size, like 3 feet, 1 meter. All details, so many beautiful pictures like that. And I'll explain more later on. But this is our kind of like official Anjana Sudhi Academy outreach tool, Light of the Bhagavat. For us, we like it. And then the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Anant Rupa was talking about that. What is that? Oh, that's different. Yeah, this is life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's not published in English. It's published in Spanish. It's the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam is a 30-page introduction. And the first 5 pages talks about God as the supreme controller and God as the cause of all causes. Because some people say, yeah, God's all-powerful. He's the most powerful. But they don't know where the devil came from. They say, well, you know, he's more powerful than the devil, but they don't know where the devil came from, like that. Yeah? But Bible time says, no, we're talking about the idea that God as the cause of everything. Like that, yeah? And so then after that, there's a 30-page biography of Lord Chaitanya. It's very nice. You can read it in one evening like that. So in Spanish, it's a separate book, and it's very nice. You give somebody, and they sit there, and they can, maybe like an hour and a half, you read the whole biography of Lord Chaitanya then. Especially for Indians, because they say, well, I know Aurobindo, I know Dayananda Saraswati, I know different people like that, Shankara, Ramanuja, but your Acharya, Sri Chaitanya, I don't know about him. Do you have a little biography of him? There it is. You know? Prabhupada said, print these purports separately. He said, you go ahead and take a purport or something like that, and print it up and distribute them like that. Yeah. And then the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that's not in print now. It's very good. And that's what we're talking about. Very good book. Wonderful book. It's about this big. Prabhupada extracts out all the philosophical conversations out of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, instructions to Ramananda Roy. So he just has those, like the five or six of the, and very little of the pastimes. But it's a very nice book. These are all available on the database. What else we got here? Okay, then we got Nectar of Devotion, I've been describing this morning, which is basically an extract of all these things. And it's trying to explain to us what is devotion, how to develop these things. And Little Brother, Nectar of Instruction, Bhupa Rupa Goswami. It's a summary of everything. So what do we teach in Bhakti Shastri? Huh? East Upanishad, right? Whole thing? Yeah, just the first part, like the eastern part. So which books have we already studied in our course? Yeah, now Bhagavad Gita, we've gone over an overview, summary, and now we've gone over the first six chapters, and now Monday we're finishing Nectar of Devotion. We're starting almost finished Nectar of Devotion. Next. The Life and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya is a biography about this thick. It's the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's all of his pastimes, but not so much philosophy. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are just his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They're all from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but that's more like philosophical. It doesn't describe too much of his pastimes. It's a big book. Like that, yeah. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, is like this. You know, like that. It's a big book. Yeah. So, how many verses in Nectar of Instruction? Okay, so he knows everything. You're ready. Like that. Yeah. And which verses are we going to memorize in Nectar of Instruction? I think that's good. You know, one. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegam, yavisha heta dira, sarvam apimam prativim sasishat, utsahan nischaya daryat, tatar karma pravartanat, sangati agat sato vate, sabir bhaktir, facility. And maybe also the number four, darati prativim, I don't know. Yeah. And after that, it's Bhakti by Bhava. So we'll read these books again. We'll look at them again, but we'll look at them from a higher level like that. So Nectar of Devotion, we're covering the eastern part, four parts, eastern, southern, western, northern. Eastern part is a summary of everything. And we've already been over Samanya Bhakti, which is a definition of what is Bhakti, right? Prabhupada says, one man may say, I have so much bhakti for the demigods. I have so much bhakti for my wife. When I don't see her, I cry. Prabhupada said, this is not bhakti. This is lust. Yeah. So what is bhakti? Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karmadina avritam anuko yena krishna anushivanam bhaktir uttama. Yeah. It's this service to Krishna empowered by the parampara with a conscious intention to please Krishna but no desire for any profit, no desire to know Krishna, controlling him. And that. You understand okay? Okay. Yeah. And then after that it talks about the characteristics of bhakti. So it talks about, this was the second semester we did this. There's six characteristics of bhakti. You know what they are? Six symptoms. And the first is sadhana bhakti, practice. And there's bhava bhakti, where you're feeling emotions, sentiment. And prema bhakti, when it's fully manifest like that. Yeah? Okay. Now, let's get the very word. In sadhana bhakti, two of them appear. Yeah, Vaisheshika had an acronym called Dapper Law. Yeah. Number one is? Huh? Yeah, we have freedom from distress. Freedom from distress. So you engage in devotional service, then your mental anxieties, your physical distress go away. And then? Then it's auspicious. And everything, what is speaking of getting free from distress, everything becomes really good. Your financial situation becomes auspicious, your social relationships, your health, your plans, like that. And of course, you know, Vaidhi Bhakti is not a small thing. It means like, you know, coming to the point of being what would be considered a saint in most traditions like that. And then after that, you do that, then you actually start to wake up. You're not practicing anymore. Your real spiritual qualities are coming out. It's like in the morning before the sun comes up, there's some rays of the sun coming, like that. So all the snakes go away, all the robbers go away, like that. So that's bhava bhakti. Yeah, yeah. And bhava bhakti, two more symptoms. It's rarely achieved. Yeah. Not many people come to this point of actually the soul starting to come out. Again, it's like sunlight. You see this person, these people, you just like, everybody just, you know, realize this guy is, you know, not on fire. It's like the spirit. Yeah. You minimize the quality of liberation. Is it the last one? Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, then it gives us Sandramani Nanda. What puts one in an impenetrable bliss. His happiness is so intense that nothing can penetrate it. You know, shooting arrows in you like that. Okay, it doesn't matter, you know. Yeah. And finally? It's very rarely achieved? Yeah, okay. And it's the only way to attract Krishna like that, yeah. Because Krishna's so happy, everything else. What does he need us for? You know? Oh, but Krishna's attracted by bhakti. Akura comes to take Krishna away like that, you know. And everybody's unhappy and trying to stop him like this and that. But Akura's driving the chariot and avoiding everybody like that. You know, it's like a great computer game. Akura and the gopis. So he avoids everybody. He gets out of Vrindavan. They're going there. It's the Hindi movie, you know. And finally, then there's one gopi just collapsed in the road and they can't get past her. Then Akura asks, he says, "Who's that?" And Krishna says, "Oh, that's Radha." And he says, "Everybody comes to me, but I go to her." Like that. Yeah, like that. So she's a symbol of love of Krishna. And Krishna's attracted by this. Krishna cannot avoid this. There are two ways to have deities of Radharani. One is like this, and one is like this. One is like this, and one is like this. Which is better? Like this, she's giving benedictions like that to people. Oh, okay, you want Radharani. But like this, she's giving a tulsi leaf to Krishna. And when she's like that, Krishna can never go away. Can't escape like that. So, you know, subtle things. Yeah. So this is all, you know, the nectar of devotion. It's all extracted out of there. Six qualities, and we're going to study them gradually. Yeah. And so then... And then it goes into details. For example, he removes distress. It talks about distress. Distress is caused by what? What causes distress? The fundamental cause of distress is? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it's true. He says, huh? Yeah, but maybe better. Yeah. Yeah, you already got that one. Yeah. He says, avidya, ignorance, illusion. We're confused about who we are, everything else like that. You know? And because of that, then we engage in different kinds of, we have different kinds of material desires. You know, and the desires start to go to the point of actually trying to engage in them and then have a reaction. And because we do something in the material world, steal somebody's shoes or something, you know, or, you know, then there's a reaction. And we suffer from that. You know? And some of those reactions are still seeds. Some are not, are just starting to manifest. And, so, and when it produces this result, and we suffer or enjoy, but then what happens? Finished? What happened? Huh? Yeah, that produces a new seed. Like that. If you're very careful, you can avoid, you can suffer your reactions and be finished. But usually when the material nature comes to us with pleasure or distress, we don't remain neutral. The pleasure comes, we want more. The happiness comes, we want to avoid it. And that produces more reactions like that. So it's a disciple. Bijam, Kutam, Parabdha, Aparabdha, in Sanskrit terms. So it goes in great detail. And you find Prabhupada talking about different places like this again and again. This is how the world works. Because there are different reactions, you know, and they're coming like that. But why is this happening? Why am I suffering this? You know, why am I enjoying this? You know? Because in the past you did something. Okay. So how do we get rid of these? We engage in pious activities. We develop knowledge. Yeah, even that won't work. Karma and jnana won't work. Yeah. We engage in devotional service. And that burns all the seeds to ashes like that. Thousands and thousands of lifetimes. Prabhupada says we come to this human form of life after hundreds and millions of lifetimes. We've all been bacteria. Everybody here has been bacteria like that. One man did an investigation of how much the body is dedicated to sense gratification, like the tongue, you know, sexual relations, or percentage. So a human being is a certain percentage, you know, tigers, animals. Amoeba is something like 60% of their body is dedicated, surface is dedicated to, you know, tasting, having sexual relations. So if you're an amoeba, you can just, you know, absorb yourself. So that's why we were amoebas. That's why we have been bacteria like that. And how long does your life last? Maybe a few hours like that. Yeah. So hundreds of millions of lifetimes. You know? So now we have to burn all those things up, you know, like that. You know? So it's nectar of devotion. And then we did that last semester. This semester now we're finishing off the actual sadhana bhakti. And so what is the definition of sadhana bhakti? Remember? Oh. Yeah, but what's it? Both of them have a definition like that. Common definition. Huh? Activities that can involve the senses, in ways that we can involve the senses in service of Krishna. And what's the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of sadhana, bhakti, everything else? What are we trying to do? The ultimate goal of all these things. Well, beyond that, the ultimate goal of all these things. Huh? What does that mean? What does that mean? English. Yeah, okay. And so we're trying to get that? Huh? We're trying to get it? No. Huh? Ah, remember. Remember. Like that. How's that go? Yeah. So that's a big point he makes. You don't actually get it. The actual Bengali, Anicca Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanadi Sude Chite Karade Udaya. There are certain practices, when properly followed, which will reawaken our love for Krishna. It's not something you get from other source. You already have it. We already love Krishna. But it's just like somebody has amnesia. They wake up in the hospital like that, and doctor shining a light in their eyes. He says, hello. You say, hello. And he says, do you know where you are? Hello. Do you know who you are? No! Says, no. Don't worry. It's okay. I'm a doctor. You had a really bad head injury. And you have amnesia. And almost every time it can be cured like that. So, you know. So it's not, doctor's not going to bring your wife in because you say, well, who are you? I'm your wife. Forget it. You know, see, then it becomes, you know, not a good, so, okay. So he brings in maybe some pictures of your house and your jacket and different things, you know. So same thing. We see pictures of Krishna. We see his deity. We dress Krishna. We chant his name. We sing songs about him, like that. And that's the whole point. This stimulates our recollection. So that's sadhana bhakti. You know, vaidhi bhakti, rules and regulations, raganuga, following the humor of an advanced devotee. And these have the potency, when applied properly, to wake up these things. So out of all these rules and regulations, I'm just paraphrasing now, there's two rules. Two rules and regulations are very prominent out of all these. See, he said he doesn't know anything. He knows everything. You know? Who knows the Sanskrit? It's like Bhakti Bhai Baba. Smartavya satatam vishnor vismartavya najatu chit sarve vaidi nishidayor etayor eva kinkaraha. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. All the rules and regulations are simply servants of these two rules. You can work hard all day in the temple, and if you don't remember Krishna, it was a complete waste of time. If you do one thing and remember Krishna, your whole day was useful. So that's the purpose of these things. Otherwise, you can schedule yourself right out of Krishna consciousness. Get my whole Krishna consciousness schedule. Do you ever remember Krishna? Yeah, okay. That's the purpose. Yeah. This is what we just studied. This semester, we just studied this. Then he goes into specific practices. You know. So what is, he gives 64 practices. He says, my older brother has given a book with more details. So who is his older brother? Who is Rupa Goswami's older brother? Begins with an S. Okay. And who is his younger brother? Anupam. Yeah, like that. Straw. And so, what's the name of the book that Sanatana Goswami wrote with more details? It's Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, next to devotion, he gives a summary. And he gives 64 principles, very important principles. So, what's the very first one? The very first rule and regulation? It's taking shelter of an acharya. Take shelter of an acharya. The second rule? I think it's take initiation. Third rule? Like asking questions, yeah. And the fourth rule is learning from him how to serve the acharyas. Like, and it says the first four or five like that, you just do those. You know, you hear from Srila Prabhupada, take initiation from Srila Prabhupada, maybe this way or that way, but it's you know, from Prabhupada, you know, like that. He's, you know, initiation means to get the process. It means to receive the process like that. We give the beads, we give the name, we give the principles, okay. You take that. That's initiation, receiving the process. And then you've got to do it, you know. And then after that, he gives so many things. Don't wear blue or red in front of the deities. Don't hold your knees. You know, some more important, some less important. But all very practical if you go through them. Then out of all these, he says five are especially potent. What are the five processes that are especially potent? Sankirtan. Yeah, Sankirtan, living in a holy place, worshiping the deities, or Tulsi, associating with devotees, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. And these five are especially potent like that. Any more? Can you remember another one? What are the other one? Out of the 64, another one? Another rule? Regulation? Out of the 64, what's another one? So many. Some of the things you should do, some of the things you should avoid. Huh? Yeah? Huh? Yeah, observing festivals? Yeah? Observing Ekadasi? Yeah. Worshipping? tulsi, banyan tree. Yeah, very nice practical things. Circumambulating the deities. Very practical things. And then the last two chapters in Sadhana Bhakti discuss. No, that's the last, that's the third chapter. I think third from the last chapter. The last two discuss about Raganuga Bhakti, like that. In the beginning, he describes what is Raganuga Bhakti, and there's a mistake in the book, like that. He's just talking about Raganuga. So, what is Raganuga? You know what Raganuga means? Raganuga. Raga? Anu? Ga. Huh? Probably just describes it as spontaneous devotional service. Yeah. He's translating these words into English is kind of a very difficult thing, you know. Yeah. It's when we start to get a taste. Again, like in the beginning, you're playing the piano, you know, this note, that note, this time, two measures, three measures, you know, nah, 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 nah. But then you start to hear like some very good piano player playing the same song, and then you start like, you know, you get attraction for it. You're not just doing it because you out of fear or you want to get an attraction, but actually you like it. You like hearing the music, you know? And so then you start to play because you like to play, you know? But when you're playing with your teacher, together with him, then you can really get into it. But without that association, then you can't do it so much, you know? So then we're trying to follow the raga. A raganuga devotee follows a ragatmika devotee. His very soul is raga. And examples are Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Sridham, Sudham, Nanda Maharaj. These are ragatmikas. So we're thinking about Hanuman. We're thinking about them. And this is only possible. When can you do this? You're still smoking cigarettes? You can start raganuga? Yeah. When you're free from different material desires and things like that. Adoshwada, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Nartanivritti, Nishta, Ruchi. Get some taste. And then you can start to try and imitate like that. You know? Otherwise, it's for our own gratification. I've met Krishna, I'm a gopi, Krishna wants to see me, Krishna wants to dance with me, you know, I'm playing with Krishna. And even in with different Christian people too. And you start talking about Jesus and, you know, they're engaging in illicit sex in the congregation, but they're talking about the ecstasies and this and that or something, you know, the holy rollers on the ground, rolling around. Yeah, these are same kind of things, but sometimes it's premature. So what's one group that Prabhupada mentions, the Bhaktisiddhanta mentions to avoid? Huh? Siddha Pranali. And this was they come from Lord Chaitanya, but apparently it's one branch from Gadadhar who kind of deviated. And before they were giving this initiation, they'd tell you, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you Siddha Pranali initiation. I'll tell you, your name is Labhanga Manjari. You wear red saris. You cook peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for Krishna. Meditate on this, you know. And that's Raganuga, but they're giving it to people, and they themselves were engaging in, you know, illicit sexual relations, you know, smoking bidis, singing the Gopinath Bhajan while smoking a bidi like that, Gopinath. Look at that. And then so many widows at Radhakund also, and they were getting pregnant. And Prabhupada says, government is not stupid. Government knows it is not government men coming down, getting these ugly widows pregnant. But they know it is these Babaji's that they're associating with these women and getting them, you know, they know, you know, like that. So that apparently because of the preaching and everything else, that has pretty much stopped in Radhakund, that kind of thing has gone on. But now some devotees are taking shelter of Anantadas Babaji, who's coming in this tradition. And I've heard he had some problem a long time ago with these relations, but nothing recently. And people say he's a very nice person, very peaceful, very learned scholar. But then there's a subtle problem that we our scriptures, long tradition, we discussed this, that giving Smaranam as the main process is not the process for Kali Yuga. The process for Kali Yuga is Sankirtan. So first thing, we're chanting, distributing, glorifying. If you do this automatically, you start to meditate on these things, think about them. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, like that. But without the Smaranam, yeah, it's not potent. You know, your Kirtan has to come to this point of where you're naturally thinking about these things and you're attracted to internally. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would go to work as a judge. And people were coming, you know, some widow was being harassed by people trying to take her house away from her. Her husband's gone, she hasn't gotten children. So he was thinking, oh, this is just like some poor cows. Krishna's out in the forest with the cows, and the calves are being attacked by wolves. And I have to help Krishna protect the calves from these wolves, you know. So this is externally, we act like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Very austere, very clean, very, you know, forceful austerities. And internally, we act like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. As Rupa Manjari, and I forgot who Sanatana is, and Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari, like that. So internally, we can start to think about these things in all of our activity. We start to enrich our daily activities with this spiritual perspective. So that's what he's discussing in the last two chapters. And we just finished that. Okay. So now, you got Isopanishad, Light of the Bhagavat, Nectar of Instruction, and the eastern part of Nectar of Devotion. Except there's two more chapters. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. There's two more chapters after that. And those are going to be Bhava Bhakti, two chapters for Bhava Bhakti, and one chapter for Prema Bhakti. And it's also in the same section like that. Yeah. So that we'll discuss next semester a little bit. Yeah. And then Bhagavad Gita, we've already done chapters 1 through 6. So Monday we're starting chapters 7 through 12. Well, why are we studying in those groups? 1 through 6, 7 through 12, 13 through 18. Huh? Yeah? He gave an analogy. Like that. Yeah? Huh? Uh-huh. He gave a book. Like a book has these hard covers to protect the inside. So bhakti's in the middle. And to protect that, oh, I have so much bhakti for the demigods, you know, no. Then he explains, what is this material world? You know? In the beginning, the end, like that, different processes. Then we can understand that spirit is different than matter, like that. So the first part and the last part protect the bhakti like that, like the covers of a book. But the real bhakti portion, as far as Bhagavad Gita goes, is in 7 through 12. Yeah. So, what else we got here? The Bhaktivedanta Library. One time when we gave this, sometimes, some people have all the books, you know. You start stacking them up like that. Bhagavad Gita, Isopanishad, 18 volumes of, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 7 volumes, Room Conversation, 32 volumes, Bhagavad Gita Lectures, 7 volumes, Letters, 10 volumes, all these things there, you know. I remember one time I said this, and some people say that Prabhupada didn't give you everything. Like that, you got to go to other gurus. So one boy was in the audience, and he said, "Thank God." this is like, you know, the Prabhupada said that. He actually said that. He said, "Even 100 years, you cannot read all of our books." There, said, "No disciple takes everything. No disciple can take everything the spiritual master is offering." So remember, I was trying to do it. I was trying to read everything, and then finally, I heard that. It was like, oh, so you should sample things. These courses, Bhakti Shastri, look at everything, you know, and then later on, but figure out, okay, this book is for me. This is. I like this. And then develop your own collection of the Bhaktivedanta library. Develop your own real practical use for using it to help people, you know, to contact people. There's Hanuman delivering the... he's delivering the Upadeshamrita, right? He's going to give the Upadeshamrita to Mother Sita to prove he's bona fide. He's going to take a check from her back to the BBT for a full set order. This is the esoteric meaning of the Ram Lila. Oh, here we have it, yeah. Isopanishad, 1 volume. Bhagavad Gita, 1 volume. Bhagavatam, 36, 17. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. Yeah, Nectar of Instruction, Krishna book, Life of the Bhagavat, Life of Lord Chaitanya, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Lectures, 25 volumes. 7 letters, 7 conversations, 32. 125 books. Okay. A professional author takes 2 years to write one book. He has a contract. He knows what he's doing. It still takes 2 years to write, rewrite, edit. It's a whole process, yeah? Okay. Now, 125 books, right? That takes how many years? Yeah, it takes 250 years to write 125 big books. or 225, probably did the whole thing in 10 years. That would take 25 professional writers there, like that. There we go, one, two. It's hard enough. With Ma, no hands. These guys are all typing away, trying to keep up with Srila Prabhupada, right? Yeah. I don't know. 25 professional authors. I'm not talking about fools. 25 professional authors, what to keep up with what Prabhupada did, like that. And what are they all the same thing over and over again? No, there's one purport, for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is 10 pages long. It's a summary of Sanatana Goswami's refutation of Shankaracharya's attempt to prove from the Vedanta Sutra that Shankarshan Aniruddha Pradyumna and Vasudeva are have material bodies. And it should be published as a separate little book. Yeah.
He's not only writing, but you forget the translation part.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is Sanskrit and Russian word and do that. Then you talk about writing. That's why I didn't want to do all
that. Yeah, yeah. And probably had a team, but he had to manage them and he was doing everything else at the same time, too. Yeah. So you can see this Bihari Lal is a big Gunda guy. And Vrindavan and Rock Talk, our disciple, he knows everybody there. So, you know, Bihari Lal was calling him and said, he should, Prabhupada is not a Paramahamsa. He said, that's a few months ago. He is an avatar. And he was just like, he's appreciating. This is not an ordinary human being, yeah. Even amongst devotees. Yeah. This is an Anjana Sudha Academy curriculum like that. Okay, yeah, same thing. You know, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhuli, Yagnabhadava. There's a monkey, yeah. But if you just chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, you'll become perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
Huh? I know. This is the Gorilla Sampradaya. So any questions, comments, complaints? Yeah. Okay, now Anjana Sudha Academy, because there are many different course programs. There's the Mayapur Institute, there's the Bihe, the Mihe, so many different groups in ISKCON presenting these things. And so in Peru, we have had good success there. So the devotees there actually were professors and different things like that, and they wanted to do something, and we're trying to organize them and, you know, deal with the political ambience, everything else. What can we do, you know? How can we show an example? So finally, they formed a group called Vedas. Vaishnava Educadores Difundiendo Amor y Sabiduría. Vaishnava Educators Spreading Love and Wisdom. Vedas. Yeah. And political, we had so much treasure or somebody like that. You know, we got the whole thing worked out like that. You know? Yeah. It's interesting. And so there's one project on Saraswati Puja. We did a thing on the cow and recipes and that. And a couple of projects, it was successful. We worked together. And they asked, what should we do now? And I said, why don't you do Bhakti Shastri? Oh, wow. Yeah, a whole project like that. So we got officially registered with the ISKCON and started the project. And then we were just trying to design a curriculum. And we were thinking of is morning and evening. You know, so therefore, we had two books going simultaneously. In the morning, you do Light of the Bhagavat, and in the afternoon, you do something else like that. So originally, we designed it like that. You know, but now, actually, practically speaking, it just doesn't work. You know, so what I'm going to do is rewrite our study guide, Tava Pache Pache, in terms of just one book at a time. Probably Light of the Bhagavat first, and then Nectar of Instruction second. And then Isopanishad and Bhagavad Gita. I'm not sure which is first. Probably Isopanishad. And then finally Nectar of Devotion like that. Yeah. Study them like that. Yeah. Yeah. And again, everybody's different, right? Everybody has. And so then we have maybe like, I have five students. One. Srinivas in San Jose and Srangatakur, you know. Patrak in Peru. Somebody else, who? Namachari in Croatia, like that. You know, sannyasi traveling. Yugala Kishore, Devi Dasi, she has like five students. They meet once a week in Miraflores there, and they play more games and stuff. They make up puzzles and pass around. They write one verse, break it into four parts,
and they all kind of pass it around like that, and each part like that. They memorize a verse that way. And she hasn't had a degree in education. So they have a lot of fun, you know. And so like that, some people have 2 students, some have 5. Laxman goes traveling every 2 months to maybe 4 different cities. A lot of work, you know, all over Bolivia coming back. And then different people here, some other devotees following here in Srivastan, and started the whole program in San Jose. I was pushing it for so long. So all together, we have about 80 students. You know, and they're all over the place like that. And we're all kind of just going together. And the thing is, in the end, anybody can take the examination. You don't have to take any kind of course. So we recommend it as for your qualifications, you know, principles, and take the examination. And we're writing our own examination. But that's why. And all, you know, and it's progressive, you know, writing our study guide. So the idea is, okay, you finish this, okay. Then you maybe pass with a score of 75% or something. Okay, 80%. Okay, you haven't got to hit up 100%. But you teach it. Teach your cat. Take one student, take a few people. But, yeah, and start the same way, and other people. And then somebody else gives you some guidance on how to form your curriculum and how to stay together, some association. And teach it twice. At the same time, you should go ahead and study Bhakti Bhai Baba. It's the first 6 cantos, over 4 years. Maybe, you know, 1 year for the basic book, Flight of the Bhagavad, Prabhupada's biography, and Metro Instruction. Okay. Take first initiation, do your Bhakti Shastri, 2 years. Yeah, slowly. And you just take 4 years to Bhakti Bhai Baba, take sannyas. Or else become Goswamini. Everybody has to do this. It's the basic idea. So that's the fast track. It took me 10 years, you know. But within 6 years, Prabhupada was giving sannyas for people who were like really intense and strong like that. You know? And then 4 more years, Bhaktivedanta, become an acharya. You know? Like that, yes. With a small A. Then I don't know how many more years, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. Prabhupada was giving some kind of titles. And the idea is that as you're reading the books, you actually, I know when I read Prabhupada's books, it's like, probably challenging, you know, like that. Gopal Kumar says that sannyas can mean eating and sleeping. No, sannyas can mean eating good food and not having to work hard. One definition of sannyas is eating good food and not having to work hard. You know? Just remain celibate and you can just loaf and eat like that and a little work, you know. So I think, am I doing that? Am I, you know, actually working? And, you know. So everybody, as you read the books, you actually get challenged in terms of how much you're actually a sincere devotee and stuff like that. So if you actually follow them, by the time you come to the, you know, the 12th canto, you should be ready to, you know, to give guidance to other people and become like an acharya with a small A. I asked Jari Patakamara, he said, yeah, small A is enough. You know, big A is for Krishna. He gives you that, you know, somebody. So, yeah. So that's the whole point, you know, is Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Baba. And again, different people have different consciousness, different nature. Somebody's a cook, you know. You know, he knows a few verses and chants. We have one guy who was a pot worshiper in the Temple of Berkeley. He was a moron. He wasn't an imbecile, but he was a moron. And technical thing. A very simple guy. You know, he was a professional pot worshiper in San Francisco in restaurants for maybe like 15 years. He met devotees, read a book, came to temple. He started worshiping the pots in the Berkeley Temple. Because a lot of cooking there. Because he was a professional pot washer, he got everything organized. He told him, no, don't use that pot, use this, and then put them. So all the cooks and stuff were you know, connecting up with him, and the whole kitchen got kind of organized because he knew, like, you know, how to do this, you know. And he would take a break at 10 o'clock. He wouldn't go out and smoke a cigarette, but he'd go out and like eat some prasadam. And very simple person, intelligence, you know. And he would chant rounds every day. And he would preach. In a very simple way, like a very, very effective, you know. So, okay, he wasn't going to become Bhakti Shastri, you know, like that. Bhakti Shastri is like a high school degree, you know. Most people don't go to high school in Vedic culture. Most people go to elementary school, and they go to trade school. 6th grade, you go start working with your uncle, being a, you know, coppersmith or whatever it is. And you learn specific stuff. Carpenters know a lot, you know, but it's very specific in terms of, like, measurements, how to cut things and certain requirements like that, you know. And then by the time you're 18 years old, you can get married and take care of your family. Fully competent, you know. And then yes, elementary school is good enough for 90% of the people. And after that, trade school. You know? And then after that, you know, a few people, high school, maybe the merchants, they go to high school, they learn how to calculate things, where does rubber come from? It's like they need some kind of geography and some kind of mathematics. Kshatriyas, they take their bachelor's degree, they go to West Point. You know, that's about all you get in the army is a bachelor's degree. As far as I know, there's no other degree. And then more mathematics for how to calculate where the shells are going to land and stuff like that. History. Yeah. And some of the brahmanas, okay. And they go ahead and do like a sort of master's degree. Like that. So any final? Yeah. Very nice being here. Very short. So when we come back in September, we'll be in our last semester then. Yeah. So tomorrow morning we can go over Bhagavad Gita 7 through 12, like a little bit like that. Our notes. I downloaded them from our... See, I'm traveling. It's a whole thing. How do you do this? Everybody has a different way to do this. So I downloaded today my Tavapachapachi notes on my little computer thing so I can read them, look at them, and write before. We did a summary, so I have the summary notes. And it's very interesting looking back at your notes later on, looking at them, they're useful, you know. So everybody should have, you know, you're going to do this, you'll develop your own books and guides and stuff and review them. Why write? Parthasarathy said he had like 8 pages of notebooks before he stopped writing. It was just like, no, you should write your notes and thinking, am I going to use this? Is somebody else going to use this? And yeah, you do. Yeah. So now, Light of the Bhagavat, that's been our outreach tool. You know, I just somehow or other, I was driving the car from Chosika to Lima, and I thought, Light of the Bhagavat, because I like classical books. And that's a classical thing. And I like art. I like music. I like culture. I like intellectual things. I don't like science. It's like too dry, you know? Okay, everybody's got their thing, you know? So Light of the Bhagavat. It's for intelligent, cultured people. So scientists don't like it. That's okay, but it's not like linear enough, you know? And it's like over here and there. You know? It's more iconographic. It's like a snapshot. We're going to take you to a different world, you know? Yeah. For example, Varna Ashram Dharma, it's all over the book. The basic definition is in text number 14, and text number 12 is like, you know, details of this, and text number 3 is details of that. So if you go through and reorganize them, you know, then you have like, what is Varna Ashram Dharma, how do Grihasthas live, how do Sannyasis live, and along with that you got a picture like that. So we've been developing a whole symposium, and, you know, all the art on display. Inviting people to come for different topics relevant to their particular group, like that. And finally finishing off with a gala event with the movie Light of the Bhagavat, which we have that movie made shown here. It's a really nice movie we made in Peru with Oscar Nata. It's a really intense movie. I've seen it like about 37 times now, and I'm ready to see it again. He takes out the ideas and puts them in kind of a nice order, and then has images and from Vietnam War and Krishna with the cows and Vrindavan. I think you've seen it, haven't you? Yeah. And it's a very nice movie, especially if it's on a big screen like that with sound and stuff. It's just, wow, incredible. Yeah. And we're developing these. And so we did it one time in Argentina. They kind of got the idea. The second time, they had a friend who had a gallery, and they put the art there and had a little thing, and some people came. Third time, they approached Recoleta, which is the biggest cultural center in Buenos Aires. It's a former Catholic convent. So it's like, you know, about the size of the campus there, about the sports arena. So many places. And they did it there, and people came, they advertised it. Some druid guys came like that. These strange outfits and stuff, you know. And it was okay, a lot of good people. They sold about $400 worth of books and everything else afterwards. They knew they're doing too. They have Buddha statues too, you know. So they're building Buddha statues, and they knew what to do, incense. A lot of books and everything else like that. And the promoters said, wow, we didn't know what this was. We gave you Thursday night. Next time we'll give you Saturday. We'll give you like the big advertising. And so now they're ready to do it again. And every time you can pick out a different topic, theme like that, invite people. You know? And finally the movie with Phil Prasad. Okay. So now we're going to finish. We're doing another movie with Oscar Natters. We did it here about 4 or 5. And I would suggest that he wanted to do something for children. So we're thinking, okay, Light of the Bhagavat, Bhagavad Gita, the universal form, I'm a taste in water. And he started filming stuff, and I think we gave him, think it was $4,000, you know. How much does Hewlett Packard budget? You told me. Yeah. I thought it was 3,000. Maybe 3,000. Okay. Okay. A simple educational movie, you budget $3,000 a minute. Okay. So now the movie we're going to show you tonight, which is a draft copy, it's almost done, is 15 minutes. So how much would you have to pay for that?
$60,000.
Huh? So about $60,000, we're talking like that. You know, that's a simple educational movie like that. So he agreed to do it for $4,000. Yeah. And he's a very nice person. He's really becoming a devotee through this service. Yeah. And then he wanted 2,000 more, you know, overrun. So okay, you're all right, I don't know, you know, overrun like that. So send me whatever you've got now first. You know, we'll discuss it with our board of directors like that, you know. And so he sent this. And what we have now is all the images, the actual movie without the soundtrack. And he has subtexts. What do you call them? Subtext? What do you call them? Subtitles. But not, and they're not properly edited, the English. So he sent me those. I edited them. When I was in Spain, I recorded them in Tirthakirti's studio. I had a little bit of a cold, so my voice was a little deeper. It sounded good. How do we send these? DHL wants $100. We discovered we could break it into two files, and we could send it, you know. And so now he's editing with Rodrigo, his friend. Where's Lord Chaitanya? We need actors. I don't think he paid any. I think he paid a little bit. He paid like car fare and stuff to the actors, you know. But in Peru, they're all these guys that they like this stuff. They help out, you know. He wanted to get a real good, you know, universal form place. So on the coast above Lima, there's one reserve, which is nobody's allowed to go there. It's a totally, you know, blocked off, preserved place. So Abhiram knew somebody who knew the actual minister of the interior. We got a hold of him, explained what we're doing. He said, okay, 72 hours. Go in there, and I don't want you to leave any Coca-Cola cans or like that. You know, I don't want to see any footprints. He was joking about that. But it's just, you know, it's just you go in there and, you know, because it's such an incredible place. Anantagora Sundar's son, Abhiram, what's his name? Abhijit, anyway. Abhishek. He said, I've seen tourist movies of Peru, promotional movies, but I've never seen nothing like this, you know. So we got things like that, this unusual stuff. And now he's doing the soundtrack like that. So, what we have tonight here is the pretty much edited visuals with no soundtrack, with subtitles like that. And you're privileged, maybe the only people in America to see this. Yeah. And then it worked out of being a little bit different than what we thought it was going to be, but okay, considering the money, how much money we gave and everything else. Who's Lord Chaitanya? We found Lord Chaitanya. We found the Brahma. Brahma looks like Buddha. He'd be a good Buddha, you know. And he got the whole thing done. So what it ends up being is a promotion for Srimad Bhagavatam by showing the parampara, how it's coming down, from the perspective of pantheism, which turns out to be a perfect promotion for Light of the Bhagavat. So April 14th, we are reserved in San Ysidro Cultural Center, one of the biggest places in Lima. All very nice houses around the upper middle class, lower upper class. And they're going to do good promotion. A whole cultural event with a fire sacrifice, a dance under the olive trees in the night with the light shining down, the movie premiere, first time. Then after that, people drinking, you know, apple juice and eating pakoras and talking and music playing and the pictures available. We're going to print the pictures. Abhiram figured it out like about this big. Because the big ones are impressive, but it's just too much people to buy them like that. So you print them about this big, you know, then they're like, yeah, I could roll that up and take it home. How much do you want? You know? And then we have the art available for sale, the book for sale, the movies for sale, and make a lot of friends. That's the idea. And hopefully somebody will come forward and tell us, you guys are idiots. You've got such a good product here. Why aren't you organizing it? Because we're idiots. I'm not an idiot. I have two factories. I have all these people. I'll help you. Oh, thank God. Somebody. Emperor Ashok is, what's your name? My name is Ashok. Yeah. Edward Ashok. Oh, Emperor Ashok. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're kind of at right now. So I guess we'll go ahead here and then, what am I doing? I gotta change my seat. Okay, take off the microphone. Move the,